FM, part of the IOM radio network.
Welcome. It's Matt Connerton Unleashed. We are live. It is Thursday, April 7th, 2016. A little bit after 11 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. We're live on IPM Nation 2, and it's a Thursday night, so we are also on OTR FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Radio Network. Forgive me if I sound slightly distracted. I'm just kind of watching the levels and paying a little extra attention to what's going on in my headphones because I was on the Dr. Kevin show earlier and I had a bit of a technical issue. So I think we have figured that out and eliminated that. It looks like everything's good. So thank you for bearing with me for a moment there. Let's see. Speaking of my appearance earlier on the Dr. Kevin show, you know, the first Thursday of every month, we do something that we call Thirst Quenching Thursdays on the Dr. Kevin Show. And I am Dr. Kevin's guest the first Thursday of every month. And if you didn't get a chance to listen to that, of course, Ohm Times does a great job with the their radio on demand feature, making sure that all the shows that run on Ohm Times Radio get up, including this one, by the way, on the Ohm Times radio on demand. So you can go and listen to them anytime. So if you missed tonight's show, my appearance on the Dr. Kevin show, you can go back and listen to that. Not right now, obviously. Right now, I want you to stay here with me, but later. But one of the things we did discuss briefly on the Dr. Kevin show tonight is we have an event coming up this weekend. So if you are in the New England area, or even if you're not, hey, it's worth the drive. gas is still somewhat cheap right now. Let's see. We will be at the Unitarian Universalist Church from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. In Manchester, New Hampshire at 669 Union Street in Manchester, New Hampshire for Norm's annual Spring Psychic Event. For those of you who don't know, this about me, I am, in addition to, you know, being someone who likes to commentate on politics, I'm also a psychic. No, I'm kidding. No, I am, however, a certified hypnotherapist. So I'm not, I'm kind of the, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, one of these things is not like the other. When I'm at these events, I'm the guy there who's, not trying to predict your future. I have no idea about your future. Don't even ask me. If you assume that I am psychic because I'm there, I'll probably say something smartass that won't be helpful to you in any way. And then you will walk away thinking, wow, I can't believe he told me that. I never would have imagined that for my future. And I'll be chuckling to myself that you believed my ridiculous statement to you. But I am a certified hypnotherapist. And I will be on site to do sessions, and I do, or oftentimes at these events, you know, I'll usually do a couple of sessions, but a lot of people will want to just meet me and kind of talk to me, and then we'll schedule something for later at the office. I do have an office that I work out of in Concord, New Hampshire. So please come down and see me. It's admission is free. So anyone can come in. Of course, obviously, if you get a reading from someone or anything like that, or you decide to purchase something from one of the vendors there, then you know there is a charge for that. But it's free to come in and just walk around and talk to people. And you know, if you're interested in coming in and talking to me, meeting me or Dr. Kevin or Norm from Norm and Friends or anybody else, please come on down. Like I said, it's this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Unitarian Universalist Church, the UUs. Like I said to Dr. Kevin, I like the UUs because with the UUs, everyone wins. which makes sense if you think about it. You put two U's together, you get a W. W for winner. Everyone's a winner, whatever you believe. I'm not particularly religious myself, so please don't take offense if you are a Unitarian Universalist and feel that I'm mocking you in some way. I mock everyone. Well, almost everyone. I don't want anything bad to happen to me. But anyway, that will be this Saturday, April 9th. So come on down, and it's for a good cause, by the way. A portion of the proceeds raised that day will go to the Manchester Animal Shelter. So that's a wonderful cause, obviously. So I hope to see some people there. The last one, Norm does a couple of these a year. He usually does a fall event and a spring event. The fall event, we had a really great turnout for this. So that is that's one of the things that we discussed on the Dr. Kevin show earlier. Let's see what else is going on. Tomorrow night on the show, I have a guest. Our Friday night show is strictly on IPM Nation 2. We're only on OTR FM Tuesdays and Thursdays, but we're five nights a week on IPM Nation 2, one of the live channels on the IPM Nation live station. The live station, of course, broadcasts 24/7 from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire, and is powered by Ambit Energy. So learn how to save more on your energy bills by going to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. And actually, another thing that Dr. Kevin and I discussed was some of the growth at IPM Nation and all the new shows we've been adding and new sponsors and whatnot. So just as the Ohm Times Radio Network continues to grow, IPM Nation does as well. So we're very very happy to all the very happy for all the support that we get. And tomorrow night on Unleashed will be joining me V. This is what he calls himself, V. He is the host of a program that we carry on IPM Nation called The Red Pill. And V is what is known as a targeted individual. And you know what? I'm going to, I should have pulled this up sooner, but I'm going to, rather than trying to explain to you what a targeted individual is, I'm going to, it looks like there's a band called Targeted Individuals. That's interesting. Let's see. There's a website. Oh, you know what? We'll look it up on Urban Dictionary. This is what Urban Dictionary says a targeted individual is. Targeted individual is a person who has been singled out by a criminal syndicate called organized gang stalking. The targeted individual is under 24-hour surveillance and is stalked by large groups of various criminals. The new technologies have brought about the possibility of this crime. All of the wireless devices can be hacked and tracked. The criminals carry non-lethal weapons in their cars and use them against the targeted individual. The weapons are both easy to buy or easy to make. They use lasers, dazzlers, handheld microwave, X-ray devices, plasma beams, and other directed energy weapons. The stalkers are working full-time to discredit the victims of this crime and to insinuate they are mentally ill to silence the victims. There are now so many victims that the crime is no longer being denied. Even the Department of Justice has verified the fact that group stalking is on a significant rise with a government survey. In a 2009 Department of Justice study verified, there were a total of 3,398,630 reported victims of stalking. Out of the total number of stalking victims, 13.1% documented that they had at least three or more stalkers. A quick average of the figures, 441,821 victims had three or more stalkers. 200,000 victims had more stalkers than they could count. So that is a targeted individual, or a TI, as they are also known. There's also a rapper named TI, and we have a track of his currently in rotation on IPM Nation called Broadcast Live. See, I always find a way to tie it all together for you. But that's the neat little package that is Matt Connerton Unleashed. I just put a bow right on that. Anyway, so... V will be my guest tomorrow evening on Matt Connerton Unleashed. And it'll be a good Friday night guest. Now, by the way, as longtime listeners know, I do approach everything with some skepticism, you know, whether it be the conspiracy theory stuff or the psychic stuff or whatever, religious matters and so forth. But I do keep an open mind. You know, I myself have had experiences that I can't fully explain in terms of what I perceive to be the paranormal, for example. So when dealing with people who are coming from a point of view that some may snicker at or not believe their claims or wonder if it's a put on or whatnot, you know, I'm very careful. I don't just buy into things just because someone says this is what's happening or whatnot. But I don't roll my eyes at these people either, because truth often is stranger than fiction, and maybe there really is something to this. So we'll be talking with V tomorrow night. I have a lot of questions for him, and this targeting thing, and you know, why him, and why do they choose specific people to harass and whatnot, and the whole thing is quite interesting to me. And I'm curious, the rapper T.I., is that what is he a targeted individual? Is that what T.I. stands for? Probably not. It's probably like initials of his real name or something. Who knows? I have no idea. Anyway, we got to take a break. There is lots of political stuff, fun political stuff going on to talk about when we come back. More Unleashed coming up. By the way, the phone line is open, 617-917-4IPM, 617-917-4476. We got the chat room open at ipmnation.com/live2. We'll be right back.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Om Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
That ought to get the blood pumping a little bit. Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM, the premium channel on the Om Times Radio Network on this Thursday evening. As I mentioned, going into the break, we do have a phone line open for you, 617-917-4IPM. That's IPM as in IPM Nation, 617-917-4476. You can call us or text us at that line, or both if you'd like. You can tweet at me, at Matt Connerton, and, of course, the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page is there as well. And we have the chat room open at ipmnation.com/live2. You can opine there. So there are no shortage of ways to reach out and communicate during the show. By the way, this week's television edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed is up and available right now on the IPM Nation YouTube channel. This week, John Hopwood stuck around for the first half hour. He wasn't able to stay for the full show, but he stayed for half of it. And also joining me, actually for the first time on Unleashed via Skype, Tom Massengale, who is currently living in the UK, but he was with us prior. He usually joins us on Ward 13 with John Hopwood, which is also up on the IPM Nation YouTube channel. So you can check out both shows. We've kind of been doing this thing for a while now on Wednesdays where, John's show kind of leads into my show. I usually go on John's show. I usually invite him to stick around for mine. And this week we said, what the hell? We asked Tom if he wanted to stick around too, joining us via Skype from across the pond for the political discussion. And by the way, and this, it's really a local residents in Manchester, New Hampshire that will appreciate this, but on IPM Nation, they are our highest concentration of listeners. So if you're in the Manchester area and you follow local politics, John really, in my view, kind of outdid himself this week with the intro to his show. He makes these very colorful intros. And actually, the video that's at the end of this week's Ward 13, he chose specifically to be kind of the bridge leading into my show. So so watch them both. Hey, you know what? If you want to do it right, technically, you know, you should watch Ward 13 first and then my show, because that's how it runs on Wednesday. Let's see. What else? Monday night's show, too. And then I promise we'll move on. But Monday night's show is up and available on demand. I talked with Ed Opperman. He has a show called The Opperman Report, which we just added to IPMNation.com. That starts tomorrow night. And that was a very, very interesting conversation. So I wanted to mention that, too, in case you want to really hear something very interesting. Ed stayed with me for the full hour Monday night, and it was great. Okay. All right, enough plugging and housekeeping and all that. This is actually I have some audio here that I want to play. It's only 25 seconds, but Ben Carson, actually, this is from HuffPost. It says, Ben Carson is terrible at being a Donald Trump surrogate. Carson's defense of the frontrunner's campaign manager is only his latest strange statement. Now, before I read this, for those who don't recall, when Ben Carson came out, and Ben Carson says a lot of weird stuff. You know, I met Ben Carson, Jen, and Jesse and I went to a Ben Carson event, back, this was last year, and very early in his campaign. I don't remember if he had even announced his candidacy officially at that point. He might have. But, you know, met Ben Carson, nice guy, comes across much better in person, actually, than he does on television. For some reason on television, he comes across as, crazy. But he comes across really well in person. But he says a lot of weird stuff. He's just an odd man. And that's not to say that, like, some people say he sounds stupid or something. But, you know, it's important to remember that stupid and crazy are not the same thing. You can be insane and still be very, very smart. I mean, Ben Carson, world-renowned neurosurgeon. I think he did the first separation of Siamese twins who are connected at the brain or something. I mean, you know, obviously he's no dummy. He's a brilliant man. But you can be smart and still be crazy. Just like you can be dumb and be perfectly sane. So he is he does say strange things. And during his speech where he endorsed Trump, he said strange things and came off sounding like basically he was saying there were two Donald Trumps and that the Donald Trump that the sort of unpleasant version of Donald Trump that he had been presenting that so many people are turned off by isn't the real Donald Trump, sort of implying that it was some sort of an act and that the real Donald Trump is a great guy or something. It was the strangest endorsement, the strangest political endorsement I think I've ever seen. But he continues to say very strange things. So in this article from HuffPost, it says here, former GOP presidential candidate Ben Carson has been doing a fair amount of press to talk up current GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump since endorsing him last month. Much of it has been strange. On Thursday, Carson came to the defense of Trump campaign manager Corey Lewandowski, who was charged with battery for allegedly grabbing a female reporter. Carson said in an appearance on CNN, quote, "A lot of people have been charged with various things. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need to demonize them." Okay, the innocent until proven guilty argument, pretty standard. But then, so here's what Carson said next, and I'm going to play this, I'm going to play the audio for you of this exchange on CNN. Here it is.
Well, look, I mean, he's been charged with misdemeanor assault in Florida. I mean, a lot of people think that is a reason.
Well, I mean, a lot of people have been charged with various things. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need to demonize them. You've probably been charged with something, too. You maybe with a misdemeanor or something. Doesn't mean that you're an evil, horrible person. And, you know, this is the problem that we have in America today.
Yeah. What an odd thing to say. Now, I mean, you know, you get his point. His point is just because you're charged with something doesn't mean you're guilty. And even if you are guilty, it doesn't mean that you're a terrible, evil person. Everyone makes mistakes, right? But he's saying to the host, well, you've probably been charged. Like this is just something that happens to everybody. Like everybody at one point or another is charged with some sort of crime that they didn't actually commit, right? I can honestly tell you, I personally haven't had that experience. I've never been charged with anything. I've never been arrested. I've never been accused of a crime. So maybe I just haven't gotten out there and lived. Maybe I just play it too safe. You know, Norm, I mentioned Norm earlier in his event this weekend. He's always kind of picked on me about being a goody two-shoes. And he's right. I mean, I always say, you know, if you look into my background, I'm so clean, I'm boring. An odd thing to say. And then you hear John Berman, that's who he was talking to, kind of say, actually, I haven't been charged with anything. And John Berman tweeted out, his Twitter handle is at John Berman if you want to follow him. This is where I got that clip, is from a tweet that went out from him that said, "Then there was the time Ben Carson suggested I committed a crime on TV." So that happened today. Let me read the rest of the article to you because it's it's informative, but also pretty funny. "It was awkward and not particularly convincing, which means it was also right in line with how Carson has been speaking about Trump, starting with his endorsement speech. So we have come to a conclusion. Ben Carson is quite bad at being a Donald Trump surrogate. Exhibit 1, his Trump not so bad in private defense. Carson began his surrogacy for Trump by saying at an endorsement press conference that there are, quote, two Donald Trumps, and one of them considers things carefully. Not a great pitch considering Republican concerns that Trump is willing to say anything to get elected. There's two Donald Trumps, Carson said the day before his endorsement. Quote, there's the Donald Trump that you see on television and who gets out in front of a big audience, and there's the Donald Trump behind the scenes. They're not the same person. One's very much an entertainer, and one is actually a thinking individual," unquote. Well, that's not a good thing, really, because in other words, he's saying one of them is putting on an act, and that's what I've always said. I feel like I'm watching the television character of Donald Trump, not the real guy. Exhibit 2, his, well, it's only 4 years defense. A few days after endorsing Trump, Carson told Newsmax that he figured Trump probably wouldn't be too bad. Quote, even if Donald Trump turns out not to be such a great president, which I don't think is the case, I think he's going to surround himself with really good people. But even if he didn't, we're only looking at 4 years as opposed to multiple generations and perhaps the loss of the American dream forever," unquote. Oh, geez. With that logic, you could, you know, elect anybody. My dad's always said that, by the way. I remember this ever since I was a kid. Whenever anybody who had a shot at becoming president who my dad didn't care for, he would try to reassure himself and whoever he was talking to that, well, hopefully they'll at least surround themselves with good people. Exhibit three, his "I guess Trump is good enough" defense. Carson said in the same Newsmax interview that he would have preferred to back someone else, but he didn't see a path to the presidency for then candidate and Florida Senator Marco Rubio or current candidates, Ohio Governor John Kasich and Texas Senator Ted Cruz. Quote, "So I have to look at what is practical and what is going to save this country and the American dream for the next generation. Is there another scenario that I would have preferred? Yes, but that scenario isn't available." Exhibit four, his "It's okay, Trump compared me to a child molester" defense. Later in March, Carson brushed off the fact that Trump had once compared him to a child molester, saying the businessman only did it for political reasons. Quote, "You have to admit to some degree that it did work. A lot of people believed him," unquote. Wow. Exhibit number five, his "Trump only said it because he warned about the question" defense. Oh, because he wasn't warned about the question defense. That's in regard to the abortion thing, the exchange with Chris Matthews that we talked about. And then exhibit number six is "really, though, Trump is fine" defense. Carson said last week that Trump, quote, "has some major defects. There's no question about it. Just like the rest of us. But that is probably the person who's most likely to restore people's confidence in America. Are there better people? Probably." That's literally what he said. Oh, God. This continues to be the most fun election ever. I almost want to stop paying attention to politics when this election is over, because what could ever top this? And if something does someday top this election cycle, it'll probably be, well, very dangerous in order to be able to top this election cycle. More Unleashed coming up. We're only halfway done. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
Hi, everyone. This is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live tonight on OTR-FM and, of course, IPM Nation 2. You can hear us Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern on, as I drop things. And I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I'm a bit of a klutz. Anyway, you can hear us. Good thing that mic wasn't up, or you would have really heard that. That would have been painful. It's funny, too, because it occurs to me. I was talking earlier about how these mics have been dropped a lot. The microphones here in the studio by yours truly. I drop things. I knock things over. I trip and fall. I do all kinds of fun, klutzy things. And yet I've never broken a bone or fractured anything. It's quite remarkable. Yet. there's still time. But we are five nights a week on IPM Nation 2. And, of course, Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have the honor and privilege of also being carried on OTR-FM, the premium channel on the Ohm Times Network. And if you'd like to join us tonight, we do have a phone line open at 617-917-4IPM or 4476 if you prefer. You can call or text at that number. And let's see. There's so much to get into. It's one of those instances where we have an embarrassment of riches of things to talk about politically. Something that really caught my eye on Politico says here, Democrats fret Sanders Clinton descending into GOP like chaos. You know, we focus a lot on what's going on with the Republicans in terms of Trump, who I think is really doing some long-term damage to the Republican Party and certainly to their prospects in 2016. But something that gets kind of lost in that a little bit, I mean, obviously everyone's also paying a lot of attention to Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, but not as much in terms of what kind of damage is being done to the Democratic Party, partly because I think that, unlike with the Republicans, for the Democrats, the sort of the insurgent outsider candidate is not likely to be the nominee. Bernie Sanders is extremely unlikely, partly because of the way they've rigged the system with the superdelegates, is extremely unlikely to be the Democratic nominee. So it's sort of taken more lightly the way he's really kind of taken a hatchet to the establishment on the left versus how Trump has done the same on the right. Trump actually very well. I mean, I for a long time I was predicting Trump was going to be the nominee. Now it's looking like a contested convention is not only possible, but quite likely, in which case Trump very well may not be the nominee. But I had been predicting for a long time that some of what we see happening, the factioning and the fracturing that's gone on the right, that was also kind of going on the left, but more sort of simmering below the surface. Because I've been talking for, you know, before Trump came along and things really got interesting, I've been talking for a few years now, it seems like, on this show about how on the right you seem to have this sort of internal civil war brewing within the Republican Party with the Tea Party wing of the party versus the establishment Republicans. There have been some times where that has really kind of been at the forefront of what's gone on the right. And of course, now the Tea Partiers have really kind of become irrelevant. Some of them aren't in office anymore, but also too, you know, Trump has really taken up that space within the Republican Party of the outsiders, of the interlopers, if you will. Interloper is a great word. I try to work that in whenever I can. So you continue to see that fracture going on. But I've always said that there were similar sort of issues within the Democratic Party, where you have the establishment versus, the outsiders. And, you know, you've seen that kind of play out in some small ways that a lot of people never really talked about. But you're kind of seeing it play out in a big way now, because now you have a guy who isn't even technically a Democrat. Bernie Sanders is not a Democrat. He's an independent, at least on paper. I mean, he caucuses with the Democrats, but he's really kind of, he's causing a lot of people to really kind of turn on Hillary. And it looks like, you know, if there's a way, see, here's the thing. He can't get the nomination mathematically, not because it's mathematically impossible, but because they just won't let him have it. You know, I think I mentioned this, it might have been Monday night. If you look at the math right now, even with his big win in Wisconsin, and that was a big win, even with his big win there, he's 230 delegates behind Clinton in terms of pledged delegates. But then when you factor in the super delegates, He's 600 behind. So even though he's done very well, he has won 7 out of the last 8 contests, which is stunning, actually, if you think about it. That's a lot of momentum for the guy. 7 out of the last 8 primaries and caucuses, he has beaten Hillary. Granted, she's most likely to win in New York, but he's really kind of slowed down her momentum and kind of thrown a wrench into things for her, much like Obama did to her in 2008. This is turning out to be what initially would have looked like a false equivalency. This is really turning out to do a lot of damage to her. She is going to be very damaged going into the general election. Let's see. Let me read this article quickly. Democrats have long taken comfort in the fact that their party's presidential primary race has been utterly refined compared with the Republican contest's parade of insults, bluster, and profanity. Those days are over. After Bernie Sanders accused Hillary Clinton of not being qualified to be president in response to Clinton refusing to say that Sanders is, the race has taken a nasty turn, and party leaders fear it could turn into a distracting sideshow, hindering their efforts to eventually unify the party's rival factions against the GOP. Huh, sound familiar? In interviews, Democratic senators said on Thursday that the two candidates need to cool it. They mostly blamed Sanders, which isn't surprising since Clinton is the overwhelming favorite of Capitol Hill Democrats, in other words, the establishment. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid of Nevada said of Sanders in an interview, quote, "Everybody knows she's qualified, so he shouldn't be doing that. Bernie's always boasted about not doing a negative thing in his campaign, and I think that's kind of negative. I wish he hadn't done that," unquote. Added Senator Barbara Mikulski of Maryland, quote, "I'm surprised that Senator Sanders has decided to forsake his pledge of going not only negative, but so irresponsibly wrong," unquote. Senate Republicans have squirmed for months in the hallways of the Capitol, pledging to support Donald Trump if he's the nominee and shrugging off queries about why they haven't backed their colleague Ted Cruz. The divisive Republican primary and talk that it could ultimately cost them their Senate majority has dominated the conversation in the chamber for months. Now Democrats are faced with a similar distraction. On Wednesday night, Sanders said Clinton's acceptance of millions in special interest donations and her support for the Iraq war and major trade pacts are all disqualifying. Clinton's spokesman fired back that Sanders has reached a new low, and surrogates took to Twitter and TV to chastise Sanders. And a little side note here. Personally, I think what Sanders said is completely fair. I don't think there's anything. I don't think it's negative. I don't think it's a no blow. He's making an assessment based on her history and her judgment. There's nothing unfair about that. That's not negative. He did not forsake his pledge not to go negative. He is making an assessment, and I think it's a fair and honest one. Now, maybe I'm a little biased because between the two of them, even though I don't support Bernie Sanders and I wouldn't vote for him, I do like him, as I've acknowledged. There's actually a number of things about the guy that I do like, whereas I really have no use for Hillary Clinton at all, and I think she's dangerous. Let's see. Quote, "It's not helpful," unquote, sighed Senator John Tester of Montana, who has not endorsed Clinton and leads the Senate Democrats' campaign arm. "Republicans," quote, "have their problems on their side, but I don't think we should assume that helps us one lick because we have to be together on the direction that this country is going to move," unquote. Democrats stressed that the latest sparring between Sanders and Clinton is still a far cry from the profanity, taunts about body part size, and physical roughhousing that has defined the GOP race. But the increasing hostility on the Democratic side threatens to undermine the longtime point of pride that Clinton and Sanders are engaged in a substantive debate about policy differences. Polls have shown already that Sanders supporters would struggle to vote for Clinton. Sanders calling her unqualified to be president is going to make it that much harder for the party to coalesce at the convention in July. Several Democrats on Thursday called for an immediate ceasefire. Quote, "When you get to this stage in a campaign, people are tired and people do things they didn't intend to do, and I think it's just time to take a pause," unquote, said Senator Heidi Heitkamp, Democrat of North Dakota, a Clinton supporter. Senator Debbie Stabenow, Democrat of Michigan, who backs Clinton, said, quote, "I'm hopeful everybody can just take a deep breath," unquote. There's more to this article if you want to read the whole thing. It is up at HuffPost. It's titled Democrats Fret Sanders Clinton Descending into GOP-like Chaos. But and we're going to hit another break in a minute. But look, all this is really about, I think that, again, I think Bernie Sanders has been completely fair and level with his criticisms of Hillary Clinton. But what's really going on here is the establishment wants him to go away because they know it's extremely unlikely that he'll be the nominee unless he begins to win in such overwhelming fashion that that they're going to be in a similar fix that the Republicans are going to be in. You know, the Republicans are going to have a hard time. They can, yeah, if Trump doesn't get to 1237 and they have a contested convention and they give it to somebody else, you're going to have all these infuriated Trump voters, and that's going to be trouble for the Republicans. You're going to see the same thing happen with the Democrats if Bernie Sanders is the overwhelming favorite by the time we get to the convention and they still give it to Hillary via the superdelegates. You're going to have a lot of Bernie Sanders supporters who are furious. So, I mean, I love watching the sort of internal implosion within each of the parties. It's great. As someone who hates the two-party system, this is wonderful. I would love to see both parties simultaneously just completely self-destruct, and maybe we can elect a bunch of independents. That would be wonderful. Unlikely, but wonderful. But they're freaking out. Just like the Republicans are panicking over Trump, there's the Democratic establishment is really panicking over Sanders, especially when, like I said, 7 of the last 8 contests, he won. And that is that's pretty stunning. So we'll be right back. We got one more segment to go. More Unleashed. Stay with me.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book? Or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Back, everybody, as we cruise into our final segment tonight on Matt Connerton Unleashed. Don't forget, tomorrow night on the show, my guest joining me via telephone will be an individual who calls himself simply V, and he is a TI, a targeted individual. He also hosts a show called The Red Pill, which you can hear on IPM Nation on, Sunday nights. And then it also airs during the week very late at night. But Sundays, it's at 9 p.m. Eastern, I think. I don't have it right in front of me. We've been adding so much new programming, it's hard to keep up with it all. Let's see. Bill Clinton, this kind of relates to the Bernie Sanders and his insurgency, because I have been wondering for a while if at some point during Hillary's campaign, if we were going to see Bill Clinton sort of publicly lose his lose his polish a little bit and start lashing out, because we saw that in 2008. If you remember, when it became obvious that Barack Obama was not a novelty candidate, which was how he was initially regarded when he first got in, but rather a serious threat to Hillary's nomination, to her coronation, Bill Clinton, in a couple instances, really kind of, especially around the time of the South Carolina primary, which was really kind of the turning point where it became very obvious that this thing was slipping away from Hillary fast. Bill Clinton kind of started to behave in a way, let's just say, he wasn't his normal disciplined self in terms of campaigning. He really kind of, I shouldn't call Bill Clinton disciplined. Obviously, there are things about him where he shows a fundamental lack of discipline. But in terms of campaigning, he is considered to be, I mean, even Republicans will say he's one of the greatest campaigners ever in the history of politics. But he really kind of lost his temper a couple times publicly in terms of Obama. And I've been wondering all this time. So at some point, as Sanders... You okay? Oh, sorry, everybody. I've been wondering if at some point with Sanders continuing to be more and more of a threat to Hillary, if Bill would Slick Willie would start to lose his temper. And I've noticed that he has been not particularly out in front during the campaign this time around. And I don't know if it's because they don't trust him not to lose his temper again and have a repeat of 2008. I don't know if, if it's a matter of they're afraid that he overshadows Hillary because he is so charismatic and he is such an outstanding politician and very polished in ways that she is not. Although she is very good and very slick in her own way, but not on the level that he is. But who is on the level of Bill Clinton in that regard? Very few, if anyone. I don't know if anyone's on it. Like I said, even Republicans, a lot of them will say he's the greatest politician that ever lived. So, I mean, the guy survived the Monica Lewinsky scandal. He survived impeachment and ended up with higher than ever poll numbers because of it. I mean, that is a damn good politician. So I've been wondering, where's Bill, and is there a reason they're hiding him, or are they hiding him? Is it just that he's getting up there and he just doesn't want to be out campaigning? I don't know. He's pushing 70, I think. And then this pops up on HuffPost. It says Bill Clinton spars with protesters who say he destroyed black communities. Very interesting. I have not pre-read this. The former president responded to criticism of welfare reform and a controversial crime bill passed in the 90s. Now, before we get to the article, a little background. They called it the Republican Revolution when the midterm elections happened during Bill Clinton's first term. Bill Clinton, I don't think anyone would argue, again, even a lot of Republicans would acknowledge, he had a pretty successful presidency in a lot of ways. I've even heard Bill O'Reilly say, exact words, Bill Clinton was a highly effective president. But it got off to a very rocky start. You know, he won very big victory when he first went into office. You know, he very easily defeated George H.W. Bush because the economy was down. And actually, we were talking about that. I was talking about that with Tom Massengale on the television edition this week of Unleashed, how, you know, the president gets the credit or the blame, regardless of how much or how little he has to actually do with in terms of the performance of the economy. But, you know, the economy was down and that gave Clinton the ability to easily win a victory. Plus, Ross Perot drew some votes away from George H.W. Bush as well, which kind of mathematically, I think, helped Clinton get to the 270 that you need in terms of electoral votes on election night. But that first 2 years was rough, and then not a successful time for the Clinton presidency. And then that led to the Republican Revolution and Newt Gingrich with his who was House Speaker at the time with his, you know, the contract with America. Those of you who are old enough to remember that. And it really forced Bill Clinton to the middle. Whether Bill Clinton is a true centrist Democrat or he was acting as one for the sake of political expediency, he was very good at co-opting issues that the Republicans were trying to champion. And he was very good at finding common ground and finding compromise. And that led to things, some good, some bad. It led to things like welfare reform. I still remember that they did a press conference where he signed that publicly into law with Newt Gingrich looking over his shoulder. And he looked like, you know, Clinton looked like he was into it. He was smiling. He, you know, it was an era of cooperation. There was welfare reform. There was the crime bill, which I think might have included the assault weapons ban. There was the Defense of Marriage Act, or as I've always called it, the Indefensible Defense of Marriage Act. A lot of liberals during that time period were extremely angry with Bill Clinton because, Clinton, if you ever listen to any Clinton speech, he talks like a liberal, but he governed like a centrist, like a corporatist, sort of like a Southern conservative Democrat. And that a lot of people felt betrayed by that. And a lot of people liked it. That's why a lot of Republicans voted for him in the re-election in 96, because he didn't seem like a lefty. He seemed like a centrist. And when it was him versus Bob Dole and times were good, they went with Clinton, just like you hear about the Reagan the Reagan Democrats. You always hear about the Clinton Republicans. I don't remember. Oh, yes. So I remember now. So anyway, so this was a part of that. The controversial crime bill that's mentioned in this article was a part of that whole Clinton's sort of shift to the middle or even the center right in some cases. So here's what happened. Let me read this quickly. Former President Bill Clinton got into a heated exchange with protesters on Thursday, pushing back against charges that anti-crime legislation and welfare reform passed during his tenure had devastated black communities. A group of protesters interrupted the former president during a campaign appearance for his wife in Philadelphia. One person held up a sign that read, "Hillary is a murderer," while another yelled that she should be tried for crimes against humanity. Yes, by the way, things like this ought to teach the Democrats. Don't take the black vote, don't take the minority vote for granted. The protesters were referencing Clinton's 1994 Violent Crime Control and Prevention Act, which is now widely accepted to have sparked a wave of mass incarceration, especially among people of color. Hillary Clinton has come under fire for her support of that legislation, as well as decades-old comments regarding a now-debunked myth about child super predators who were supposedly responsible for crime. But she's since apologized for those words. The former president said Thursday in defense of his 1994 legislation, quote, "I had an assault weapons ban in my version of the bill. I had money for inner city kids, for out of school activities. We had 110,000 police officers so we could put people on the street, not in these military vehicles, and the police would look like the people they were policing," unquote. Despite those efforts, Clinton said he was told that Republicans wouldn't pass the legislation without more sentencing provisions. Quote, "I talked to a lot of African-American groups. They thought black lives mattered. They said, take this bill because our kids are being shot in the street by gangs. We have 13-year-old kids planning their own funerals," unquote. Clinton went on to say that gun violence and crime ultimately went down as a result of the crime bill. The legislation passed with harsh sentencing requirements like three strikes laws, which are so incredibly wrong, by the way. I got distracted by, I hate the, any kind of mandatory sentencing is just awful. Like the three strikes laws, which put many people, including low-level offenders, in jail for long periods of time. While crime did indeed decrease after the bill's passage, experts are divided on what role it may have played, if any. Clinton has conceded in the past that certain provisions contributed to mass incarceration. Later in the exchange, Clinton appeared to respond to criticism of his wife on the super predator myth. He said, quote, "I don't know how you would describe the gang leaders who got 13-year-olds hopped up on crack and sent them out in the streets to murder other African-American children. Maybe you thought they were good citizens. Hillary didn't. You are defending the people who kill the lives you say matter," unquote. While the crowd appeared to vocally support Clinton's exchange with protesters, at times chanting HRC to drown out their shouting, critics online saw Clinton's remarks as woefully inaccurate, as a woefully inaccurate moment for by the former president. Many were quick to argue that Clinton had dismissed the protesters' concerns and in turn defended the tough-on-crime rhetoric of an era and the merits of his approach to criminal justice. There's more to this, a little bit more, but we're out of time. It is up on HuffPost if you want to read it, and there's a clip that you can play. So there is video footage of the exchange. Very interesting. Like I said, they got to learn not to take these people for granted. There's more that we didn't get to tonight, so we'll see. Maybe we can get to some of it tomorrow night. The Pope, there's news about the Pope that I'm sure will make conservatives angry. He, again, is out there saying things that seem to suggest that human beings should actually be good to each other instead of judging and condemning, which I know doesn't sit right with a lot of alleged Christians. So maybe we'll get to that tomorrow night. But of course, we're going to start the show off tomorrow night at the top of the show, exclusively on IPM Nation 2, my interview with V of the program, The Red Pill. So that should be very, very interesting. Hope to see you then.